What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And hello, I'm America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three on this Powhana Friday. And for those of you watching on BAM User TV, this gorgeous creature sitting next to me is the lovely Lady Claire, who joins us on Friday in our third hour. And she will also be sharing the microphone for at least part of the day next Tuesday, Independence Day. So what is the first thing you want to talk about? Whoop, I'm sorry, my bad.
There we go.
Help if I turn up her volume.
Probably. Thank you, dear.
Sure, do it the easy way.
Right. There has been a kerfluffle between China and India. China has warned India to stop, quote-unquote, clamoring for war, and has reminded them of the thrashing they received from the People's Liberation Army in 62. The Indian Army has opened a new helicopter base or bases in Sikkim, and that's where the tensions are riding.
Well, right? There's a difference between 1962 and now, and that is that India has nuclear weapons.
Yes, I was going to get to that. All I can say is, Sergey Lavrov, white courtesy telephone, please. Because if there's anyone on this planet who might be able to, you know, might be able to calm that down, it would be either himself or Putin.
I was looking at this area in Google Earth the other day, and frankly, I can't see anything that's worth fighting over, but...
Well, you know, it's different if you live, if you're there on the ground.
Okay.
Yeah. And this came from Sputnik. Is the U.S. really ready for unprecedented actions in Syria? And there was a political analyst by the name of Alexander Gusev. He's the director of the Institute for Strategic Planning. And he made Sputnik Radio aware that the U.S. broadcaster talking about military action in Syria, a.k.a. CNN, Clinton News Network, has kind of played fast and loose with the truth more than one time. And this guy pointed out that CNN reported on the aircraft carrier USS George H.W. Bush, along with two destroyers and two cruisers, are being deployed in the eastern Mediterranean for routine patrols. Now, he mentioned that the destroyers and cruisers could fire Tomahawk missiles without putting pilots in manned aircraft at risk. And in addition, there are dozens of aircraft already in the Middle East for operations against, allegedly, ISIS, Daesh, in Syria and Iraq that could be used in a potential strike against Syria. Mike, everything I am seeing is pointing to a regional war between the U.S., Russia, Syria, and Iran.
Well, we know that the ultimate goal of these wars included Iran and Russia and China, and they just seem to be moving forward with this as rapidly as they can, because public opposition to the wars is rapidly building, not just in the United States, but around the world, rather. And so it feels to me like they're just putting pedal to the metal and hitting overdrive on this thing. And as I said earlier in the show, it's one thing for the United States to try and conquer the world one nation at a time, even though those have all turned into quagmires. But now it looks like the U.S. is getting ready to escalate in Syria, start something in Qatar, go into North Korea. I seriously doubt the United States can literally go to war with the rest of the entire planet at this point.
And we had another episode of an Israeli unmanned aerial vehicle targeting Syrian army positions in the Golan Heights after a projectile allegedly fired from Syria landed in the occupied territory. The Lebanon-based Arabic language Al-Manar television network reported today that the drone struck a Syrian battle tank as well as a 105-millimeter cannon. How large is that, Mike?
It's a big
significant
cannon.
Okay.
A big cannon.
Yeah. You know, and this is the fourth time this week that projectiles from Syria have allegedly hit the Israeli-occupied Golan Heights. You know, and the problem for Syria is they can't strike back, because if they do, that's going to be the justification for Israel just going on in there and hauling off with all the firepower they have.
Well, I think when Israel decides they're going to do it, they're going to do it anyway. And again, I'm very concerned about this immediate coming weekend and the 4th of July itself.
Yeah.
Because when Israel's going to do something really icky, They'll wait for something that distracts the American people so that the American people don't start screaming at our government, let's stop giving Israel all these weapons they're doing bad things with.
And we had a very interesting characterization of the fight coming in Raqqa. The general characterized U.S. troops as just getting started good in Raqqa.
Ooh, US, good English has went.
Yeah, U.S. Commander Lieutenant Stephen Townsend today told CBS News that he believes that there are only about 25 to 30% of the military campaign for the ISIS capital, which has happened so far, talking up a massive U.S. military buildup in the area and insisting that U.S. troops are just getting started good in the city's invasion.
This is a lieutenant general?
Ouch. Ouch.
I mean, a corporal,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to do a quick little shout-out to our on-air affiliates who are just rejoining our network. And we're actually going to go ahead and take a phone call from Tony in Puerto Rico. Okay. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Hello, Mike and Claire. This is
Aloha.
Mike. I just have a quick comment, and I just want you to answer. A few weeks ago, you mentioned how the founding fathers were businessmen and knew how to run the country. It reminded me of a funny story when FDR appointed Joe Kennedy Sr. as the Secretary of the SEC, and he stated that it takes a crook to catch these crooks. Now,
yes.
My question is, did he really say that, or it was mentioned by his enemies or a reporter?
I've heard the quote. I don't have confirmation. It came from FDR, but it very easily could have. Again, we have to be very distrustful of everything that we read in the history books, because it's just as distorted as what we're seeing on CNN and Fox News and everything else today. Okay?
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mike.
All right, we're going to let you go. So back to you now.
Okay. Now, all of what is going on with the U.S. military in Syria is happening without the permission of the Syrian government. But Townsend downplayed the risk of clashes with Syria or Russia, saying he believes, this is a big assumption, they're comfortable with focusing on the rest of the country while the U.S. invades Raqqa, and that he doesn't anticipate any conflicts. Is this gentleman barking dog mad, Michael?
No, he's not. He's not mad. He's trying to put out the propaganda to keep everybody in the United States calm. There is a growing opposition to all of these wars.
Mm-hmm.
And we may not be demonstrating in the streets, because we've come to understand demonstrating in the streets will not accomplish anything. But I don't think that we should confuse silence for consent.
No.
Because certainly as we talk to people around this island, and there's a lot of concern here about a potential nuclear war with Russia and China, because mm-hmm. we're a big target.
Yeah.
And I think the concern here is that the American people are reaching their threshold of simply saying no more of this.
Yeah.
And the United States is still trying to maintain the illusion that somehow this intervention into Syria is necessary, it is moral, it is just. The idea that Assad is this evil guy who's gassing his own people, that one has been discredited so many times. It's almost embarrassing that they're coming back to that line, trying it yet again.
They're trotting it out yet again.
It's like they think we don't remember anything that happened before last week, and that, of course, is no longer true in the age of the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
The Internet has given society a collective memory that is not subject to editing and control by the government, at least not yet. But they're trying to say, yeah, we're there to fight the terrorists, and yet at the same time you've got Nikki Haley at the United Nations going back to the agenda, Assad must go,
mm-hmm.
and you have the commander of the U.S. forces in Syria and Iraq saying, well, even after the terrorists are gone, we plan on staying.
Yeah, that's more than a little scary. And I've got to tell you, Mike, if this guy's thought processes are as sloppy as is his English, we are in deep trouble in this very immoral and illegal invasion of Syria. And I think, unfortunately, it's only a question of time before there is a military clash between U.S., Syrian, and Russian forces. Russia has warned us that any attack on any Syrian-Russian aircraft by the U.S. military will bring a proportional response.
I thought that warning was basically a blanket warning for any military invasion of Iran. It's not confined to the aircraft.
Ah, okay. All right. Then I stand corrected.
Okay.
Very interesting thing came out of the Washington Compost recently. After U.S.-backed bombing sparks famine in Yemen, U.S. media insists U.S. is not the problem.
We're never the problem. We're the good guys.
A guy by the name of Jackson Deal took a massive human rights violating catastrophe, the U.S.-assisted Saudi bombing of Yemen, for the past 2.5 years, and the massive famine it's caused, and somehow turned it into a write-up on how good and noble the United States is. You know, just when you think you can't get into it any heavier and deeper, someone does. You know?
Well, truth is the first casualty of war. And again, the propaganda to convince the American people to go along with this is that these wars are all necessary, that they're moral, just, that we're saving the world for democracy, whatever else they're going to go on out there. When the American people finally wake up and realize we're the bad guys in this conflict, it's going to be much harder to move things forward. And there's actually a part of me that thinks reinstitution of the draft might actually be a good thing, because that will be a wake-up call, especially for those from the Vietnam age who will remember that a lot of our kids got killed and crippled just to make the defense contractors rich.
It's going to be their grandkids who are going to wind up getting drafted.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I look at what this guy said, and I have to think, whatever his handlers are paying him to regurgitate their codswallop about the U.S.'s high moral ground in Yemen cannot possibly be enough to continue wading into the filthy depth of hypocrisy and deceit as deeply as he has to create such an article.
I'm sure he's going to get a raise.
Probably.
That's the annoying and frustrating thing. All these people who are lying to you, they're being paid huge amounts of money for it.
Yeah.
That's just annoying.
And let's go back to the facts of the case in Yemen. The U.S.-enabled Saudi war on Yemen is causing the deaths and maimings for life of Yemen's children. Because the Saudis have blockaded Yemeni ports so no food can get in, Yemeni children are now dying from complications of malnutrition. Fact, the malnutrition in Yemen has brought cholera in its wake, one of the most severe epidemics the world has ever seen in the 21st century.
Which is why I'm not sure it's a natural occurring epidemic.
You think it may have been weaponized?
It may have been a biological weapon attack.
Wow.
We're dealing with a U.S. government that is already in violation of international law repeatedly, use of torture, use of white phosphorus over residential areas. Do you think they're going to stop at trying to basically kill off the people of Yemen? And remember, this war was not Saudi Arabia's idea. The U.S. is using Saudi Arabia as a proxy because of the growing opposition to more U.S. wars. Because several years ago, there was what was called a successful intervention in Yemen, where the democratically elected government was ousted in a coup d'etat, and a junta, a puppet government, was put on into Yemen. But the people of Yemen didn't want a puppet ruler. They wanted their own country back, and they're trying to kick that puppet ruler out. And they've all but succeeded, and that's when all of a sudden the United States goes to Saudi Arabia and says, we will give you all kinds of really nice things if you'll go in and slap those Yemeni people down under the principle that once you are a conquered province of the American Empire, you stay there.
Yeah. And other fact, the Saudis are using depleted uranium in Yemen. And the use of depleted uranium weapons is having precisely the same effect on children here as it did in Fallujah, or with our surface people and their kids, and Iraq, with birth deformities, stillbirths, and cancers just absolutely soaring. And, you know, in looking what Deal did, in my mind, it's very much akin to a doctor's touching up a patient's x-ray to assure them that their cancer isn't really that bad at all. And the cancer is participating in an immoral, illegal war where the U.S. government and its Saudi counterparts are committing war crimes in the name of bringing back a U.S.-sponsored puppet the Yemeni people don't want ruling them.
Well, it's more than that. It's maintaining this idea that, you know, we're the good guys. We have a manifest destiny to bring our civilization to the rest of the world, which is really kind of dumb when you take a look around at what our civilization has decayed into at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And the other part of the propaganda, of course, is these other nations deserve to be invaded, and what's happening to the civilians who are living there? Well, you know, they're godless non-believers anyway, and they deserve what happens to them. It's the same propaganda you get in every single war. You dehumanize the enemy, you give them a slang, negative name, you strip their humanity from them in the public eye, and then you can pretty much do whatever you want with them. Again, an obsolete concept, but that's what's going on.
Yeah. Also, it looks as though the U.S. might be getting ready at some point soon for regime change in Iran.
Oh, they've been trying for that for years.
Yeah.
They tried it back in 2009, remember?
Yeah, I know. So after 15 years of unsuccessful war in Afghanistan and Iraq, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson says the Trump administration is pursuing a policy of regime change in Iran, which might lead to a third ground war in the Middle East since 2001. What is this man thinking? And, of course, with Iran, there is, draped over the Bösendorfer, baby grand, the 6,000-pound gorilla, and it's snoozing for the moment here. That 6,000-pound gorilla is Russia, which has promised through the last decades to come to Iran's aid militarily should it be attacked. So war with Russia over Syria and Iran, the thought of this is nothing that I can conceive. It is sheer, absolute, foaming at the mouth, dog-mad insanity. And yet that appears to be exactly the direction in which the U.S. government is headed here.
Well, it seems mad until you remember that the ultimate goal of all of these wars is to drag the world back to Bretton Woods, where the entire world is forced to use the U.S. dollar for all cross-border trade and banking, off of which the U.S. financial center makes a huge profit. The Federal Reserve makes a huge profit.
Right.
And ultimately, in order for that to work, the ruble and the yuan must be destroyed. And the only way you're going to destroy the ruble is to destroy Russia, and the only way you're going to destroy the yuan is to destroy China.
Yep.
And I hearken back to that article by Paul Craig Roberts, who basically came on out and said that his sources are saying there's a serious discussion going on in Washington, D.C. about not even risking losing in a conventional war against Russia and just launching an unprovoked nuclear strike at them, so devastating they'll be too scared to strike back. And that's a dangerous, dangerous gamble.
Yeah. And, Mike, to me, this is reckless in the extreme, and I say that because at this point in the U.S. military's preparedness, it doesn't have the weaponry, the troop strength, the money, or the manufacturing to ensure a positive outcome to a conventional war with Russia. So the timing is just, it's completely insane.
I keep thinking back to that stupid cruise missile attack on the Syrian airbase by Trump. And it was a major embarrassment because most of those missiles didn't even hit the airfield.
Yeah.
And those that did hit the airfield didn't hit anything important.
Yeah. And Russia has been making incredible strides recently in its weapons capabilities. They're showing at aero shows all over the place.
And people are buying this stuff.
Yeah, they're flocking to it.
They're seeing the poor performance of America's weapons, the very superior performance and lower cost of these Russian and Chinese weapons, and other countries, international buyers that are not under some kind of political or treaty constraint are starting to arm up using these Russian and Chinese weapons.
Mm-hmm. And what technology is getting foisted off on our American military? Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Lockheed Martin's F-35. Well, it's been grounded over oxygen problems, flight tests delayed until at least 2018. It's being characterized as a $1.4 trillion national disaster. The question is being asked, is the F-35 a trillion-dollar mistake? And it's being characterized as a fighter that won't have a real chance in combat.
Well, they're making the same mistake with that they made with the F-4 Phantom.
Yeah.
It's an overemphasis on its active defenses and its missile systems. We're going to take a break for commercials. We're going to come on back and bash the F-35 a little more after these few words. folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux is really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully, there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And we're talking about the F-35. It is a boondoggle extraordinaire. And in many ways, they've made the same mistake with this plane that they made with the original version of the Phantom F-4, in which the doctrine was the missiles and electronics are going to do all the fighting, and the pilot and the F-4 is just going to sort of hang back. And it really didn't work out. The missiles didn't work all that well. They actually built that first Phantom F-4 without an air-to-air cannon. That's how overly confident they were that all these missiles were going to work. And the missiles always worked wonderfully in testing, and then when they actually got out there in combat, it didn't work well at all. And the U.S. Navy's kill ratio fell to 3-1. Which is still good, but not as good as it had been before the war, where it was 12-1. So they ultimately literally added a belly pod with a gun to the F-4, which made it heavier and less maneuverable. And believe it or not, they've actually had to do that to the F-35. Not because they didn't put a cannon in the F-35. They did, but the software for it is not going to be ready until maybe 2019. And in test firings, the gun actually can cause harm to the port side wing root, where it is. So now they've bolted. And that's another problem. Under cost-plus military building, they just add things and drive the price up. And so it is overweight, underpowered, has a bad habit of the engines exploding. It can be defeated in air-to-air combat by 1970s vintage jet fighters.
Wow, that's bad.
And so, again, it's a repeat of Vietnam. If the enemy gets past the electronics and the missiles, the F-35 is going to be eaten for lunch. And things are so bad on the F-35. They're not going to cancel it. Projects this large have a political life of their own. Too many people are making money off of it. Mm-hmm. But it may never be usable. And Congress is actually seriously considering reactivating production on the F-22 to bring that back, even though the F-22 has its own laundry list of problems, including an inability to fly at its design altitude because of problems with the pilot's breathing. And now it turns out the F-35 also has a problem with delivering oxygen to the pilots. And I don't know, did all the good engineers already leave to other countries where manufacturing is still respected? But you look at all the problems with our recent weapons. And again, it's politics, it's all about profit, and a lot of these weapons systems were initially put together with the expectation they'd never actually be used. And that was a big part of the scam during the original Cold War, where they were taking all this money away from the American people, and they were building all these different weapons and airplanes, and they were having fun out at Edwards with all these very exotic aircraft like the Goblin and so forth. And the idea was it didn't really matter if it worked all that well, because the expectation was it would never really be used. Well, now we're in a situation where we've got a government that is apparently taking us to war against multiple countries, and we're going in there from a position of tremendous weakness economically, and all of these weapon systems that have all these problems. The only thing that we have that is a credible threat right now is the nuclear arsenal, which gets us back to Paul Craig Roberts and his warning that they're actually talking about just hauling off and having a nuclear strike against Russia rather than risk defeat in a conventional war. So it is a very, very scary situation, and I don't understand what's going on. Is there lead in the water in Washington, D.C., like there is in Flint? They're all juiced out of their mind on prescription antidepressants, because, frankly, it does, I agree with you, they sound like they're borderline insane.
Yeah.
And I understand their rationale. We must have war with Russia and China, or the United States is finished, but... it is an amazing... They're gambling with billions of lives in this argument over whose brand of ink and paper we're going to use for the next 100 years. Mm-hmm. And you want to talk about insanity? That is it right there.
And what do you... Is there anything that can be done to change the corporate culture of weapons manufacturing at this point?
We need another Harry Truman, because going into World War II, he saw this was a problem.
Yeah.
And we're going to take another break for questions.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman App at appsapart.com. That's APPSAPART.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Nutramedical's new True Silver is a new angstrom silver wrapped in hydrogen and with a liposomal enzymatic envelope to deliver to target tissues. It will kill all viruses, bacteria, parasites, and pathogens. It goes through the biofilm with an amazing new technology developed by Dr. Bill at NutraMedical.com. You can get this amazing new nutraceutical, which is non-toxic for the eye, respiratory tract, or nose, or skin, at NutriMedical, NutriMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or our order line, 888-212-8871. This new technology releases the silver ion to stimulate not only killing pathogens, but stimulates tissue regeneration and stem cell activation. It is thousands of times stronger than any colloidal or ionic silver complex, and with its enzymatic liposomal envelope, delivers it to the target tissues with very small dosages.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility. Provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our
public. And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And before we get back to Claire's talking points here, I'm looking at the Fox News feed during the commercial, and they're out there saying, oh, the militants are now going into Somalia. ISIS and Al-Qaeda are in Somalia. So they're getting ready to invade Somalia because a lot of undeveloped natural resources down in Africa, a lot of gold, a lot of stuff, and it's just waiting there. And how dare those African people set up their homes over our natural resources? So
it's going to happen.
Yep.
There was an article that came out today that NATO has agreed on Afghan troop boost, wrangles with U.S. on specific numbers. And apparently it was the NATO chief, Jens Stoltenberg, who today confirmed that there had been an agreement at a ministerial level to plan to escalate military involvement in Afghanistan. The exact numbers haven't quite been worked out yet. And so, NATO Secretary General and U.S. SecDef Mattis, I have a word for you. One of the most classic definitions of insanity is doing something precisely the same way over and over, and yet expecting a different outcome. Surges in troop strength come and go, but Afghanistan still remains the graveyard of empires. Alexander the Great was the only military conqueror who was able to hold on to this, and that was only for 3 years. Apparently, the Taliban still control large parts of Afghanistan, and ISIS has established a foothold. Mike, am I crazy on this, or is there no military metric by which the invasion and occupation of Afghanistan can possibly be considered a success, unless you want to count the absolute explosion in the production of opium poppies as success?
Well, that's a big part of it, and as a result, we have an opioid problem in the United States, both prescription and illegal. Same thing is happening in Russia.
Yep.
But don't forget, there's that oil pipeline right of way
that
they got at a discount.
Yes.
And that was really what led to the initial idea to go into Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
There was a consortium of oil companies that led by, included Unocal, and they wanted a pipeline right of way across Afghanistan. And the Taliban said, sure, you know, here's the cost of a pipeline right of way. And the oil company consortium said, oh, we don't want to pay anywhere near that much.
Yep.
And the Taliban said, it is our country and it's a fair rate.
Mm-hmm.
So the consortium goes over to Congress and they say, we think we need a friendlier government in Afghanistan. And that's where it all... go on in, change the government, put in somebody who will give us our pipeline at a discounted rate. And one of the representatives of Unocal was one Hamid Karzai, who, following the U.S. invasion, was installed as the new U.S. puppet ruler for Afghanistan.
Yep.
So, El Presidente de Unocal.
And it is completely illogical to magically believe that another surge after 16 years is going to have any greater effect than the surges which have preceded it. And, Mike, to me, that is the absolute utter fallacy of this plan.
Well, they're just hanging onto the ground there. Yeah. As long as they got that pipeline right of way and where the poppies are growing, they're going to stay there until that last opium poppy has been harvested. And as far as the eastern part of the country, which is militarily the most difficult to control, they may just say, Taliban, you can have that. You can have the desert. As long as we've got the oil and the opium, you can have the rest.
Yeah, to me, what makes logical sense is to evacuate U.S. and NATO troops as quickly as safely possible, and then the U.S. and NATO should be negotiating with whatever government is left standing in Kabul.
There's a problem.
What's the problem?
The Taliban do not agree with the idea of growing opium poppies. Taliban, opium had been eradicated from Afghanistan.
Yep.
You were caught with a poppy, they'd cut your hand off.
Yep.
Draconian, but it worked.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was really the issue. The American drug lords, and again, if you have not seen it, go over to the History Channel and hunt down America's War on Drugs and watch all four segments. That's your homework for the weekend. There's going to be a pop quiz on Monday.
No, there's not.
Yes, there is. It's my show.
Yes, and dear. I know.
The CIA, the U.S. government are neck deep in the drug traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And the American drug lords needed a source of opium because the opium coming from the Golden Triangle is drying up.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big part of the reason to go into Afghanistan, the oil pipeline right of way and securing a new source of opium for America's drug lords. But because the Taliban were opposed to the growing of opium poppies, the Taliban had to be removed. And by the way, this is not the first time one nation has gone to another nation, gone to war with another nation over drugs. Britain actually fought a war with China over Britain's right to sell opium to the Chinese people. And they were actually growing the opium here in the United States. It was a legal crop at the time. Britain would buy it from us. They'd sell it to the Chinese. It led to the opium dens. And ultimately, it corrupted the Chinese imperial government so badly, that's what led to the Communist Revolution in China. And, of course, the opium trade in the United States worked its magic on our political institutions. Most people do not know that the Skull and Bones fraternity that we mentioned earlier in the
I hit my mic. I'm
Please
sorry.
Please don't do that.
All right.
The Skull and Bones fraternity at Yale University, which is tied in very much with the CIA, was originally funded on opium money. And again, back then, it was legal, but that's where it came from. They're steeped in opium money. It's called the Russell Trust. And that was where they began. and they're still neck deep with the CIA, which is still neck deep with running cocaine and opium into the United States of America to fund covert operations unapproved by the United States Congress. Again, right. That's on the History Channel, four-part show, America's War on Drugs. Each part is 2 hours long, so it's 8 hours of very well-made, very well-edited documentary.
Yeah, it's amazing. It was, and Mike and I know more than a little about the history of this thing, but we were kind of amazed.
Well, yeah, we sort of inadvertently, peripherally got involved again back in 1994. When I stumbled across evidence that White House Deputy Counsel Vincent Foster had in fact been murdered, and it was covered up with a fake suicide, and got blacklisted out of Hollywood, and all of a sudden I had all this free time on my hands, and I started digging into what was going on.
Yep.
And bit by bit, it all began to surface, and we put it out on the earlier websites, and I wasn't the only one. Other people, like I said, Sally Denton, Roger Morris, their article, The Crimes of Mina. Terry Reid, one of the actual pilots, wrote a book called Compromise, Clinton, Bush, and the CIA. And, of course, we were all called kooks and conspiracy wackos and so forth. And so for us, it is a moment of vindication to see the History Channel actually do this show where they come on out and say, yes, Barry Seal was smuggling drugs. He was working for the CIA. He was smuggling guns down and drugs back in an illegal covert arming operation to the Nicaraguan Contras, which violated U.S. law. It violated the Bolin Amendment and the Logan Act. And it was all being funded with what?
I just sneezed.
Oh.
It's okay.
Okay.
Sorry. I'm dangerous this afternoon.
Yes, you are dangerous.
I apologize this to
and,
your audience.
And it was all funded by literally tons of cocaine. And that's something, especially if you have a family member who has suffered from the curse of drug addiction. Just imagine the government, the United States government, the Central Intelligence Agency, was importing, still is, tons and tons of illegal drugs into this country to sell to our children to make money for whatever it is they feel like doing. And that's why I keep saying what we need right now is a cash for clunkers law for the government itself.
Yes.
We take our old, costly, inefficient, bloated government that doesn't do what we want it to do. We take it to the junkyard. We put it in a little cruncher machine. We crunch it down to a little tiny coffee table. And we all get a check for $20,000 to go out and buy a new, smaller, more efficient government. And I think the time has come for that.
I agree.
All right, what is your next story here?
Well, the next story is Qatar is working with the U.S. and Kuwait on response to Saudi demands. U.S. and Saudi officials are working with the government of Qatar on a formal response to the 13 demands issued last week by Saudi Arabia and its allies against the tiny Gulf nation. The deadline for a response is believed to be Sunday, which is why Mike and I are very nudgy geopolitically about the first
one of the reasons.
One of the reasons, not the only one.
I'm wondering, how do you say go jump in a lake in Saudi?
You mean in Arabic?
In Arabic.
I don't know, but I'm sure that some of our listeners and readers know how.
And again, complicating this issue is the fact that the United Nations has come on out condemning the Saudi demand that Al Jazeera be shut down.
Yeah. And while all the signs are that the response is going to be some variation on no, Qatari Foreign Minister Mohammed bin Abdullah Rahman Al Thani appeared to want something a little bit more nuanced. That is to say that his country is open to pursuing negotiations. It's not at all clear, though, that that's an option, as the Saudi government has insisted that demands are non-negotiable, and both Bahrain and the UAE have insisted they'll accept nothing less than an absolute acceptance by Qatar. Now, there are a couple of serious questions that are raised by this right now. The first is, precisely what is Prince bin Salman of Saudi Arabia prepared to actually do if the Qatari government tells him to pound sand?
He's going to do what he was told to do when the deal was made to put him in power.
Is he actually going to go ahead with a physical invasion of Qatar?
He might, and that will bring Saudi Arabia into conflict with both Iran and with possibly Turkey as well.
Mm-hmm. And secondly, If such an invasion takes place, what orders have been given to the 10,000-plus U.S. military troops working in Qatar to join the Saudis in the invasion against Qatar or stand down until the dust is settled?
I would imagine that their orders are going to be, forget about waiting for the Saudis, move on the capital.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing that is so bothersome, Qatar has actually been a very staunch ally of the United States to date.
Mm-hmm.
It's done a lot. So what would a U.S.-enabled Saudi invasion of that country look like to both the government of Qatar and the larger Middle East? I have one word for that. Betrayal.
Absolutely. Well, look at what we did to Saddam Hussein. They put him in power. Then all of a sudden he sells Iraq's oil for the euro instead of the dollar. They go in and they kill him.
Yeah.
The United States is not really a good friend. Any nation that is allied with the United States has to realize that alliance could end on a whim.
Yeah.
And Saudi Arabia is the U.S. handmaiden in the Middle East, even more so now under Crown Prince bin Salman.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody in that royal family has to have the sense to realize that sooner or later the United States will turn on them.
I mean, in terms of its relationships with various countries, you can't really say that the U.S. has been a friend. It's been a frenemy, morphing into an enemy.
Except, of course, for Israel, which has our politicians by the short and curly.
Yes, yes, that's also real. But, you know, that deadline is coming very close by.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'll share a little story with you. And again, the idea about friends. Most Americans would probably think that the United States and France have been friends at least since the end of World War II, when we saved them from the Nazis, and we have a special debt of honor to the French for helping us out against the British in the Revolution. But the fact of the matter is that the CIA attempted a regime change in France in the late 60s, and it failed miserably, and it was the backlash from that that led France to demand the redemption of all the Federal Reserve notes they had in gold, which in turn forced Nixon to close the gold window, end gold convertibility, the Nixon shock, which in turn led to the rise of the petrodollar deal. So you can see how all this stuff ties together, because history is not just a bunch of individual names, dates, and places. Mm-hmm. It is this ongoing tangled web of cause and effect.
Well, I know that President Trump is going to be headed to France and to meet with Macron. What do you think the agenda is there?
Getting France back on board with the so-called coalition.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the countries in Europe are dealing with populations that are as war-weary as the American people are.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to figure out how they can sort of get us all riled up again and get our anger directed at these enemies. And it's going to be very difficult to do. And we keep talking about the possibility of another false flag, whether it's a virtual 9/11. It's going to have to be something that is really scary, is really felt everywhere to bring that immediacy home. In the case of 9/11, unless you lived near New York City or in New Jersey, 9/11 was something that happened kind of far away, and you didn't feel the shock and the immediate threat of it. And that's one of the reasons why after 9/11, they shut down all air travel to try and sort of maximize that psychological impact on the American people.
Right.
So if they are planning on doing something to get the people of Europe and the people of the United States angry and scared and motivated to go back to supporting the war agenda, it's going to have to be something really nasty.
Yeah, I would agree. And that's why I'm hoping that nothing happens this coming week and with the holiday coming up.
I would agree, but again, you can almost feel the momentum building.
Yeah.
And it's only a matter of time before this happens. It's very frustrating for Claire and I. We've seen this coming for 20 years, and we've been trying to figure out some way to peacefully sort of guide the nation away from a path to World War III.
Yeah.
And obviously on that regard, we have failed. And now we're thinking about how are we going to mitigate the damage to it, which is why we're going to be spending a lot more time talking about the need to prep for in the event war comes to our own shores, which I think it well might in this age of various missiles and so forth.
Yeah.
And again, my conviction is we're likely to lose this war. And especially for places like here in Hawaii, that means attack and invasion. And plus, just if there's a crash of the economy and the government, there's going to be a crash in the supply chain. And you might want to look at what happened to Germany before the surrender, where the stores were empty, the hospitals had no medicine, and there was tremendous hunger, privation, homelessness. You need to be prepared to deal with that as well. I know that Washington, D.C. is caught up in this idea that we've never lost a war. That's not true.
Nope.
We lost in Vietnam. We never won in North Korea. And contrary to the movies and TV shows, we didn't exactly win World War I and World War II all by ourselves.
We had a little help.
We waited till we saw which side was going to win. Then we hopped on. We're going to take a break for commercials. Back with the last segment of our program after these few words.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Hey there. Quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our program. Last segment on this Pow Hana Friday. And take it away, Claire.
You just have to appreciate the irony in this. A House committee votes to repeal the AUMF, the Authorization for the Use of Military Force, and then had it ruled out of order. In a stunning move, the House Appropriations Committee today approved an amendment to the massive military spending bill by Representative Barbara Lee. The amendment passed in a voice vote and would repeal the 2001 authorization for the use of military force. Now, apparently, Representative Lee has been pushing amendments to try to end America's assorted war. That this one actually made it through committee this time is nothing short of a miracle. But the House Republican leadership was also very quick to insist that the vote didn't actually count. House Republicans are steaming about the Lee Amendment, insisting it cripples the legal basis for all of America's many, many wars, not just at the present, but in the future.
And they're absolutely right.
But there's
another factor that is not being mentioned in this article, and
right.
that is that the original 2001 authorization for the use of military force was illegal for two reasons. The Constitution does not allow Congress to delegate their authority to issue a war declaration, and in any event, the authorization for the use of military force was activated fraudulently, because when President Bush sent his letter of transmittal to Congress saying, I am turning this thing on, it included two lies. It included the claim that Iraq was involved in 9/11 mm-hmm. and that Iraq possessed banned weapons of mass destruction. So obviously, if fraud negates consent, and so this was null and void. But don't you just love the way Congress works again? It illustrates something I said before. We're in a country where we're all expected to play by the rules and follow the laws, but the government just does whatever it wants. We've got time for one last phone call. Terry in California, aloha, what's on your mind?
Hey, Claire, I got a question for you. What are these people that are pushing all these wars, what are they planning to do when the nukes start flying? Are they going to just go underground in a hole?
Oh, they've got
smoke to clear, and then come out, and everything's going to be fine?
Terry, they've got bunkers so deep with top-of-the-line survival equipment, they're not going to have to worry about anything maybe for 10, 20 years.
And you paid for it, of course, but you will not be allowed inside there.
No.
And like I said, if we're still alive after it's all over, let's find the bunkers and just cement over the hatches. That's my
that
idea for that.
The whole Congress? Does that include the whole Congress and Republican Party that's pushing this? They're going to let all of them in?
No. Continuity of Government Plan, Mount Weather is where the White House staff goes. The Greenbrier is where Congress goes. I don't know where they're going to sequester the Supreme Court, and frankly, at this point, I don't care. But there are bunkers all over the place. There's one underneath the new Denver airport. We've got one in the middle of the Ko'olau Mountains here along the H3. They've been building these things for 10 years. When we were still living in Southern California, we could see where they were building some big underground construction underneath the northeast corner of Griffith Park. And So, they've been digging down and digging all these bunkers and doing all these tunnelings. If you ever hear the story about, you know, the hums, everybody says we're hearing this hums and it sounds like a diesel at idle in a distance. That's a boring machine. And they're digging out more tunnels all underneath the country. Anyway, Terry, got to let you go. There's the music. Time for Claire and I to get on out of here. We have things to do this afternoon, pamphlets to issue, and derbies to smash.
Amen.
We'll be back on Monday, and again on Tuesday, the Lady Claire will be returning on Independence Day. I know a lot of you are already on the holiday weekend. Please be very careful. Drive carefully. Be safe. We'll talk to you on Monday. Aloha, America.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.